President Obama gets back into the game on debt ceiling talks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The debt ceiling talks in just a moment. First, we just got a report from the Commerce Department that shows gas prices are taking a toll on how much people are dishing out, how much money Americans are spending. Consumer spending for May was unchanged, but that was the worst reading in nearly 2 years. There is some hope, perhaps, though, on the horizon. Those gas prices dropped 11 cents just in the last 2 weeks. According to the Lundberg survey, the average price of regular unleaded now at $3.63. Congressional leaders from both parties meet with President Obama today, trying to reach an agreement on raising the debt ceiling. The Treasury Department says the U.S. will default on its debt if an agreement isn't reached by August 2nd, and that could have big financial implications to our nation's credit and to our own wallets. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
If you or I missed a mortgage payment, our credit rating would be cut. Same goes for Uncle Sam. If the U.S. even comes close to defaulting, the government's credit rating would be lowered. That would cut the value of U.S. bonds immediately. A new study from McGraw-Hill says bond investors could lose up to $100 billion. Lots of us aren't bondholders, but we could still take a hit on interest rates. If the government's credit rating is cut, the U.S. will pay more to borrow money. Russ Roberts is an economist at George Mason University. He's estimated how high the government's interest rate would go.
It could go up to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6%. In general, consumer rates are going to be higher because there's even more uncertainty about my ability to repay than the government's.
So you'd pay a higher interest rate for a car or student loan. Adjustable rate mortgages would go up, as would credit card interest rates. And the stock market probably wouldn't like all this, so your 401k would lose some ground. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Well, overseas, world financial regulators are slapping big banks with tougher lending rules. We asked Marketplace's Stephen Beard to explain, in English, how the new rules could help prevent another financial crisis.
Since the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008, central banks and regulators have been scrambling to make banking safer. Last year, they ruled that banks must hold stock and cash worth at least 7% of their outstanding loans. This means they can lay their hands on some funds fast in an emergency. Now the regulators have piled on more pressure. They've decreed that the world's biggest and most international banks must hold even more capital. Makes perfect sense, says Simon Morn of MF Global Securities.
If you are a very large investment bank, as Lehman Brothers was, if you get into trouble, the whole rest of the world gets into trouble with you. So we have to have extra capital on the biggest banks.
The new rule will mean that the biggest banks may have to raise more capital or lend less money. Among the banks thought likely to be affected are JP Morgan, Citigroup, Bank of America, and Barclays. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher, mostly higher at the moment, after the French agreed today with their banks to help Greece with its debt problems. Also today, Greece's parliament, the Vouli, begins debating the next round of drastic spending cuts. Stocks on Friday, the Dow gave back 115 points to close at 11,934. For the week, stocks once again lost ground.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
A new documentary premieres tonight on HBO. Hot Coffee chronicles the now famous case of a woman who sued McDonald's after accidentally spilling piping hot coffee in her lap. The case was ridiculed as frivolous. But the director and the producer of the program says no way. The case points to major flaws in how justice or injustice is carried out in this country. Susan Saladoff, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to know, what's the difference between what people think happened with the hot coffee incident and what really happened?
Well, most people think that this woman was driving the car, that she spilled coffee on herself, that she wasn't very severely injured, and that she, you know, had jackpot justice, that she got millions of dollars. You know, none of that is true. She was in a parked car, a passenger in a parked car. The coffee was so hot, it caused third-degree burns. She was incapacitated for almost 2 years.
Why do you suppose, Susan, people don't know how badly this woman was injured?
This case became the poster child for what's wrong with our legal system, a tool that was being used for this legal reform or tort reform, which most people, of course, don't even know what a tort is. And yet we're being asked to give up our rights all the time. And so nobody ever actually found out what the true facts were. Just the myths continued to be perpetuated.
What about those who say the court system is buried in frivolous lawsuits and then arbitration is the way to go?
We are signing away our rights in contracts every day. Sometimes we don't even have a choice, like in our cell phones or our credit cards. In the fine print is something called mandatory arbitration or forced arbitration. If you wind up having a dispute with the company that you've signed this contract with, the company that you're arguing with is going to pick the decision maker, pay for the decision maker. The decision maker doesn't have to give a reason why he or she comes up with the decision. It's completely secretive and there's no right to appeal.
Do you think there is such a thing as a frivolous lawsuit?
Many lawyers aren't going to take a case that's frivolous because they only get paid if they win. And there are checks and balances in the system. When a person brings a frivolous lawsuit, not only is the case thrown out, the person can be fined. Are we going to prevent all frivolous lawsuits from being filed? Of course not. But do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? I don't think so.
Susan Saladoff, the director and producer of Hot Coffee, it premieres tonight on HBO. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you so much.
And finally, for a British border collie sheepdog named C, there's a new workplace hazard. C has been named Britain's worst sheepdog after developing a fear of sheep. His owners say C will still go after the sheep like a proper sheepdog should, but the minute the flock turns to face him, he runs away. You can check out C's Fear in Action. We have a YouTube video link at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's a hospital in St. Louis that wants to get people who are waiting out of its waiting rooms.
Can we give the patient education? Can we give them, get their labs done ahead of time to where when they get to see the doctor, all that stuff's back.
Efficiency experts from the car business doing the rounds. I'm Kai Rizdahl, Lean Management. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.